All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll just be a few minutes tonight. And I'm going to start. Well, I started a long time ago. We're still on the home. It's the new section. And I began to talk about financial things a week or so ago and how that can be a point of contention in a home. And so I want to pause on what I was going to next and talk about some things to help in the area of finances and financial freedom. But this is not like a Dave Ramsey course on telling you to cut up your credit cards and all those things, but just trying to give you a biblical perspective of where we're coming from when it comes to finances. So we'll just look at a couple verses and a couple things, and I'm going to be on this for a few weeks. Lord willing, we'll have family revival in 2 weeks, so won't be able to do it that week. But the next couple weeks, we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 is where I want to start. And you might ask, what does this have to do with finances? But it has everything to do with finances for a Christian. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And what I'd like to say, first of all, in starting this conversation or this lesson on finances in a home, is in order for a person to live a financial life that pleases Christ, and a financial life that pleases Christ is one that's not going to be debt, is one that's going to be debt-free, right? Because you can't serve two masters. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But you have to understand and realize that everything belongs to God. That you belong to God. That's a place to start. Come to the realization that nothing you own as a child of God actually belongs to you. It belongs to the Lord. Now, whether or not you take advantage of it, or you mistreat it, or you misuse the funds that God's given you, that happens, and that's why some people get in trouble. But we need to realize that we're God's children, and the things that God provides is not ours. It belongs to Him. I said this in a message not long ago when dealing with decisions we make in our life about our children and our finances. When we approach money, when we approach raising our children, it is not, "God, I'm going to give you a tip, give you 10%. It's, "God, thank you for letting me keep 90. Because it's His. I'm going to give my child when I'm ready. I'm going to give my child to the Lord. What about, "Lord, thank you for letting me raise one of your children." Right? And so it's this mindset. And so I wouldn't mind teaching a class on finances and how to budget and do all those things. I can do that. And I have before. But I want to approach this a little bit differently in getting us to think about the fact that what we have belongs to God. And then once we realize that, moving forward, how are we taking care of what God's given us? Are we stewards of what God has given us to take care of? God provides. He's going to make sure you have everything you need. And in the process, sometimes you'll get things you want. God said He'll give you the desires of your heart. He's not against that, but He is against you taking things He's given you and misusing them to try to get the desires of your heart, and you go around God to do it. And when you do that, you end up in debt, and you end up in trouble when you do it that way. God's not going to give you debt. I've heard people before say that. I'm guilty of it. The truck that I drive, it was a great deal. Brother Stephen helped me find it. It was a really, really good deal. And I say the Lord gave me that truck. That's not true. The Lord gave direction towards that truck, I do believe. But if the Lord would have gave me that truck, I wouldn't be writing the bank every month a check towards the payment. Right? I did pray about it. I think He gave me wisdom towards it. But what I'm saying is People all the time say, the Lord gave me this, and he also gave me a $1,000 a month payment. You know, he might provide, and he might give you wisdom on that. But everything that we possess and everything that we have as a child of God belongs to him. And we ought to be good stewards of what he's given us. And so that's a mindset that we need to have. Instead of receiving a paycheck and writing 10% and say, God, I'm going to give you your part. Again, our mindset should be, Lord, thank you for letting me keep 90% of it. And God, a lot of times it should be less than 90% you're keeping, because you write your tithe and then you write out your missions check. God, this is what you've asked me to give back to you in the area of missions. Not when we get a raise and God blesses that we turn around and just bless ourselves some more, but praying and saying, God, why did you give this to me? Well, why is it? So I can go up on my mission, so I can do more for the work of God, or maybe God knows there's something coming up in your life. And praying and asking him, say, Lord, this is your money. What do you want me to do with it? There's times where I've been given money to take care of for somebody else, and they say, please go purchase these things. Take care of these things. And you get it and you ask them, how do you want me to spend this? How do you want me to take care of it? And we ought to look at that money that we receive, that God blessed us with a job. He gave us wisdom to work. He gave us wisdom to get that, and say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this money that's yours? And I believe if we started off with that, it would change our thinking about the money. Now, I don't know very many people that get a check and they're sitting there saying, I don't know what to do with this. Because normally when they get done writing bills, there's not enough to finish paying the bills. But if you get to the place where God gives you the wisdom and you lean on him and you get to a place going forward, needs to be, Lord, what do you want me to do with the money with your money that you're letting me hang? Why? Because I belong to him. My kids belong to him. My car belongs to him. I remember a couple years ago us having problems with our van, and we didn't really have the money, and I said, Lord, something's wrong with your van. And guess what? He fixed it almost immediately. Lord, all right, you took care of it. Amen. You say, well, that's silly. I don't think so. I just trust him that much. You know, it's good of God that he does not ask us for 100% of our, when we're talking about money, right? And you cannot put a dollar value on the blessings of God in your home. You cannot put a dollar figure on it. You can add up how much money it costs for tires, and your tires are going way more and longer than they should, and things like that. But I'm saying tonight, you can't put a dollar value on what the God's hand of protection in your life, because you're doing right. You can't put a dollar value on that. God asks us for a portion. Now listen, the idea of giving money and tithe and offering, there's a huge argument. There's one going on right now online with a bunch of televangelist preachers on tithing and whatever. But the idea of God's people giving for the work and giving to the ministry and missions is all the way back in the very beginning. That teaching is all the way through there. The example that we have is a tithe, a tenth. And nowhere did Paul say to stop doing that. And where it says to give over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and those chapters in there, it is dealing with missions money to help other saints, to help missionaries, to help one another. That is above and beyond the tithe that we give. And so I'm not going to argue with anybody that tithing is not New Testament. Tithing is what God has always asked his people to do. It's all through Scripture. There's some things that were Old Testament and they were done away with, and God tells us what those are. And then there's some truths that are from beginning all the way through that are just truths throughout the whole Bible that go for every time period, every dispensation. Look with me in Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 28. God's method has been that he provides for you and your family In the Old Testament, they were to give their first fruits of their animals. They were to give their first fruits to their vegetables. They were supposed to give first fruit of those things. That's how they traded. That's how they bartered, was with those things. And then as you go on in Scripture and society advances, then money comes in and it changes throughout there. But God has always asked for us to give off the top back to Him. That's how God's always done it. That's God's method. He said, I will bless you, and all I want you to do is give me a tenth back. And I'm not going to go over all the verses on that tonight. I'm not preaching on tithing. What I am trying to teach on tonight is that we need to become good stewards of everything in our life that God's given us. Just be a good steward of it. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 28, if you're there, say amen. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. That's a dogmatic statement. It doesn't say that he that trusteth in his riches might fall. It doesn't say that, you know, maybe he'll fall. It says he shall fall. You cannot put trust and confidence in a paycheck. I don't care how good it is. I don't care how little it is. You cannot put your faith and trust in that. You can't do it. Even the people that have won the lottery, and man, the chances of winning that is next to nothing. Go talk to just about every one of those people, and they will tell you you cannot put trust in riches. And most of those people are broke today and have no friends. And their old wife left them. And their new wife left them also. And they have nothing. Why? You can't trust in riches. You know what I can trust in? God never fails. I've been given news before about financial things. And your heart sinks and you say, what do I do? But I tell you what, I got a big God. I got a big God. We begin to pray about this thing with the church, and you know, thank God we're growing, and we get a crowd, and visitors come in. Sometimes it's hard. They don't even know where to sit. We had visitors come sit on the front row the other day, and Lord, what do you want us to do? And I prayed, and I believe He answered the prayer. You just trust God. You just trust God for absolutely everything. The righteous shall flourish as a branch, but he that trusteth in the riches shall fall. It clearly states that he shall fall. Look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. It's right after Zephaniah. Right before Zechariah. A minor prophet, not because it's any less than the major prophets, but it's just a shorter book. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. What it says here, ye have sown much. This is the testimony of a lot of people, a lot of God's people. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. How many times have you gone to the refrigerator and opened it up and said, we have nothing to eat? And there's food in there. You drank, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And here's the part I want to look at. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with what? Holes. I would say that probably the average Christian home earns wages to take it home and stick it in a bag full of holes. What does that mean? They get their paycheck. They write out all the bills. The money is, it hits the bank account at midnight, and by 8:05 in the morning, it's empty again. Why? A bag full of holes. It goes right back out. Now listen, God can help anybody out of that situation. And again, I'm trying not to teach on some of that stuff, and I can sometime, but I'm trying to get the mindset here that what I have belongs to God, and I need to be a good steward of what God's given me, which means asking God before I spend it on something. Lord, what do you think about this? A lot of times, he's going to say, no, if you do that, you're going to read your Bible less, and you don't need it. If you do this, you're going to spend less time with me. If you do this, you're going to have to work on Sundays to keep up with it. If you do this, you're going to miss Wednesdays to keep up with this. If you make this decision, you say, Lord, you're right. I don't need to do this with your money. But most of the time we say, no, it makes me happy. I'm going to do it. And it makes the bank happy too at 12% interest. Putting wages into a bag. I know there's many people in here, if not everybody, I hope not everybody, but understands the feeling of getting a paycheck and it's out just as quick as it goes in. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bowen. Money has to be placed in its right perspective. You say, what do I do? You need to look at it as I am a steward of somebody else's money, and it's God's money. It's not, I mean, I've heard Brother Bill Grady says it all the time. He says, I'll take a check, I'll take a credit card, and he said, I'll take somebody else's credit card. And we don't have a problem spending somebody else's money, right, sometimes. But when it's God's money, you think twice about it. And that's exactly what it is if you're a child of God. It's his money. You belong to him. You say, you're being extreme about this. I read the verse to start off that everything I have belongs to him. You are a servant your entire life to something or somebody. The day I got saved, I was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I became his property. I was bought with blood, and I'm thankful for it because I'm not going to hell. So whatever he wants is fine. But before I got saved, I was a servant of the devil. The devil was my father. Is that not what the Bible says? You're of your father, the devil? The devil was my father. And when Jesus Christ paid for me with his precious blood, I now belong to him. And a dilemma comes in whenever I am trying to serve him and I'm having to serve the bank. And I'm having to serve the credit card company. Well, now I'm in a straight betwixt two. Which one can I do? I'm thankful today that God is gracious and long-suffering. And I've seen God time and time again. Well, you got yourself in trouble, didn't you? Yes, sir. Well, here, let me help you out with it. Amen. He's already paid for everything for my soul to be out of hell. And he'll just, but he's so good to us, and he knows we make bad decisions. He knows it. He didn't create us to do that, but he knows. And he takes care of us, and he helps us. But what's bad and frustrating is that he continually has to bail us out. I don't know if there's any examples of it in here, but I know there's some examples I know of personally where children will move out of the house and sometimes they need a little help getting going. I mean, I remember the old preachers used to preach that a man shouldn't get married until he had $10,000 in savings. Brother Alan Jones used to preach that. Man, that'd be a nice start, wouldn't it? Have a house, a job, vehicle, and $10,000 in savings, and then you get married. Well, nobody could get married today if they did that. But that's a good thing. They ought to do that. I'm going to do the best I hope. I'm praying the Lord comes back before tonight's over. But I'm going to do the best I can with my children and my son to make sure they're, try to teach them to be set up for one day when he gets married to make sure he knows what to do and has some money saved up. That's my responsibility as a parent towards him to help him learn that. But I understand that sometimes they need a little help. But what's frustrating is when they've been married for 10 years and you're still having to pay their bills. There's some that do. There's some that keep paying them. there's some that say, I'm not doing it no more. If you can't get this figured out and get it right, I'm not doing it no more. There's some that do that. And then there's some that just keep help. But either way, it's frustrating. And that is a example of the bigger picture of what God has to do for us all the time. Like, man, can you not figure this out? And he goes, all right, well, I'm gonna give you a raise, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to help you. And we take what God gives us and turn around and dig ourselves in a bigger ditch. So the idea tonight is not to discourage you. That's not the point here. The point is to say that we belong to God, and He loves us, and He can help us get to where we ought to be financially. And the reason we're even covering this subject is because we're talking about the home and marriage, and finances is an area of contention in a home. Whether it's too much money or not enough money, it's an area of contention in the home. But if we approach it as this belongs to God and it's His money, then I believe we'll be a whole lot better off. Money must be placed in its right perspective. We are God's stewards of what He has given us, and we're going to get His guidance on everything we do. I know it's said many a times when people make financial decisions, they'll say, have you prayed about it? Yes. Do you have a Bible verse on it? And people just kind of shrug that off. But if you're reading your Bible every day and you're praying, God will show you in His Word what He wants you to do. He does it every time. We don't like what we see sometimes. Why? Because our flesh wants to do something different. All right, I was planning on going through four of them, but I'm going to stop. That's one. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate our missionaries coming. They drove over from, they're staying in Montgomery. And we're going to give them a love offering tonight. If you would like to be a part of that love offering and just put it in the plate, we're going to write them a check tonight. But we appreciate them being here and being a part of the service. We'll be praying for your brother. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so kind to us and good to us. Lord, we thank you for the instructions of your word. And God, your word says so much about finances, Lord. And we're gonna look at those things, Father. We're thankful that you give us wisdom and direction on it through your word. But Father, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be not only hearers but doers. God, that we would realize we belong to you. And Father, that we would begin to trust you with our finances, with our marriage, with our home. God, you know what's best. Father, pray that we would humble ourselves, Lord. And God, if we do have a problem, Lord, in our home in that area, God, that we would just bring it to you. God, we would come before you honestly. Lord, you already know the truth. But God, that we would admit it to ourselves, Father, with our spouse. Talk to you about it, Lord, and just trust you. And God, we would be good stewards of what you've given us. We thank you so much for loving us, God, and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.